Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner today, Dan Menigan, in for Andy Baskin. Something happened on Monday that made me think, you know, this NFL stuff is just like youth sports. It's just like junior high sports. It's just like high school sports. It might be just like college sports.
Oh, no.
Well, I thought a little weird, to be honest.
We have to turn our uniforms in at the end of the season.
And
if
washed.
We don't, we got to pay for them.
You have to wash them. And it was Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, who was appearing on the Dan Le Batard show. And Dan, longtime Miami media member, and of course on ESPN, and an interesting guy. And Tua is with him, and they start talking about things. And Tua turns the clock back, not with Mike McDaniel, who's his head coach now, but when Brian Flores was his head coach. And Dan, if you're Brian Flores, this didn't go real well. Here's Tua on the Dan Le Batard show.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. You are accurate. You are the best whatever. You are this. You are that. How would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear, or that you probably shouldn't be hearing, you're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year all the way till now.
Tua Tagovailoa talking about then and now, and then when Brian Flores was his head coach and said, terrible person. That's a lot for a pro athlete to say. Usually you don't hear a pro athlete be as candid as that in his feelings, whether they're accurate or not. Those are his feelings, so they're obviously accurate. But whether that's the way it was with Brian Flores or not, Tua said it. And that's pretty big. That's a lot to say about a guy who's coaching in the NFL right now. That's a lot.
Well, you start to hear that comment. And those comments that Tua made there, and it starts to kind of piece together what took place down in Miami that caused them to move on from Brian Flores.
Right, because he had some success on the field.
Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to look at someone, and especially, you know, as a coaching front, and go, no. If I tell you all the negative things that you're doing, that's motivation. That's motivating you when I'm pointing out all of your negatives.
And coaching you, in his mind, probably coaching you hard.
Correct. And coaching you hard and motivating you and trying to get the best out of you.
Right.
By always showing, here's where you can improve.
But is showing a guy where he can improve telling him that he sucks? As Tua just said. That, to me, that's...
I don't look at things that way. I don't coach that way. I refuse to coach that way. I think there's always a way of saying, hey, you could do. Here's everything that you're great at, and you should be proud of what you've accomplished, and then here's what you could do to make yourself better
well,
but while still being proud at what you've been able to accomplish.
Let's hear more from Tua. We have one more cut
it's
of this.
It's a little bit shortened version of the
what he
first
just said. Okay.
Cut. Yeah.
So he calls Brian Flores a terrible person. Obviously talks about his coaching style, and you want to call it tough love, or do you want to call it being a you-know-what? Whatever it is, it didn't work for Tua Tagovailoa. And according to Tua, other members of the Miami Dolphins. I get that. I understand that completely. Brian Flores felt the need to respond to this. And so he's now a defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. We just had him here, yeah. And he felt the need to respond. And when he responded, two of his current Vikings players went with him to the podium and kind of stood there with him as a little bit of a show of support. And it was Josh Metellus and Harrison Phillips standing there with him. Here's what Brian Flores had to say about Tua Tagovailoa's comments for Monday.
You know, specific to the comments that were made by Tua, I just want to say, look, I'm happy, genuinely happy for the success that Tua's had, and I really wish him nothing but the best. You know, I think, you know, player relationships are very important to me. I think that's kind of the foundation of coaching. I mean, I got into coaching because I was impacted as a young guy by my high school coaches, my college coaches, by going all the way to Pop Warner. You know, I want to make that same kind of impact. I help them become, you know, as KO says all the time, the best versions of themselves. I wish nothing but the best to Tua. And more than anything, I'm just focused on the Vikings, the 2024 Vikings, the players we have. Their leadership, their friendship is important to me, and I'm just, I'm excited about this group.
So there's Brian Flores having to kind of protect his image. Protect his image a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, he definitely...
At least give his side of it and took the high road talking about Tua.
Right, and he went on to mention a little bit more about Tua comments about basically, hey, that's not the guy that you see in front of you today.
That hit me in a way that I wouldn't say was, you know, positive for me, but at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? You know, how can I be better? That's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like that's me? No, but... You know, how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores?
I almost feel bad for Brian Flores here, except for one thing.
Did it to himself.
He did it to himself, but being, according to Tua, a jerk in his coaching, okay, if you're a jerk, that's fine. Maybe that works on some guys. Here's the problem. As a head coach, you didn't grasp the fact that that coaching style is not working with the most important player on your team. That's the problem to me. Now, I'm never for a guy, coach, whatever, acting like a jerk to
me neither.
The players at any level.
There's no place for
whether
it.
Whether it's pro. I mean, look at Kevin Stefanski. Kevin treats his players like professionals, like treats them like men.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, you know, will say, well, you need to be tougher. No, you don't. You need to treat them like men. And if they don't do the job and don't respond to that, then get somebody else. To me, it's not the coach there.
No.
But Flora's problem to me was, hey, Brian, you're not getting through to this quarterback. And in fact, you're bashing his confidence. Mm-hmm. And that will cost you your job. And it ultimately perhaps did.
You're not elevating your talent. The way that you are handling this is not making the talent around you better or, frankly, getting the best out of it or, frankly, putting them in an environment where they can get the best out of it. And there are some people who are out there who like to be coached in that manner. And as a and coach, some, you some have guys, to recognize
yeah, some
that.
People like, some people can do that. Some people, Dan, and you know, whether it's high school, mm-hmm. whatever level, I've told kids, hey, don't listen to how they're saying it. Listen to what they say.
Right.
Not everybody can do that, though.
Right.
And that's where the coach needs to realize, how do I get through to this player at whatever level, including pro?
Agreed.
In the pros, it'll get you fired.
It'll get you fired.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get your quarterback on board, and especially if that quarterback is an investment that the team has made and the higher end, you're done. You're absolutely done. As Brian Flores learned, you're done.
Yep.
Like, if you, and even if Tua, look, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions on Tua Tagovailoa. There are some people who love him and think he is an immensely talented quarterback that you can win a Super Bowl with. And there are a lot of people who are also out there going, I don't know why in the world right. you handed that guy the long-term contract that you did.
Right.
And so you can kind of see, especially with someone as polarizing as Tua, who doesn't have the strongest arm but is very accurate with it, you can kind of see where a coach would go, this is where you need to improve, 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 get better, you know, especially if you're a guy like Brian Flores coming from a Bill Belichick tree where you know that's how Belichick runs things.
Right. Except guess what? Bill had the resume.
Bill could drop four Super Bowl rings on a table and you'd listen to him. In right. the same way that right. Pat Riley can drop NBA championships on a table and all of a sudden you listen to what that guy has to
the
say.
The older you get, though, in sports from an athlete standpoint, I think the more power you have. If you're a pro athlete and you're pretty good, you know, like a quarterback, well, you have power over your coach. And if you're a college coach, man, your power has slipped away, I think, in most cases, because you have to kiss up to players to get them to come to play for you. And then you have to make sure they enjoy the experience while they are there, or they're going to leave in the transfer portal. And guess what? That might not be a bad thing.
No, I think it's an excellent thing. I might be the weirdo on this one. I think it's great. And the reason that I think it's great is due to the fact that now you get these coaches who will walk into a living room and sell a family a bill of goods. And now all of a sudden we are sitting there where there is a consequence to you not following through on the bill of goods that you're selling these kids.
Yeah.
That's my thing with the transfer portal. And if we want to look at it and we want to say, like, okay, also I'm in this situation and this coach is a complete train wreck than the guy who was sitting in my living room 6 months ago, I can get the hell out of there and get somewhere where somebody can line up with the way that I need to be coached and my beliefs to get the best out of me. As I said, I love the transfer portal, and I also, look, if you're Brian Flores, you're improving from this, and you're looking at this and going, how do I become a
better coach? Because I had an opportunity. I did okay, actually, yeah. in Miami, but I did not get through to the guy that I had to get through to survive there, to succeed there as a head coach. Folks, is tough love coaching dead? Should it be dead? It's dead for Brian Flores to an extent. That and how's college football becoming more and more like pro football? You might be surprised. It's next on Baskin and Phelps. Jeff Phelps here. Dan Menigan over there as Andy Baskin goofing off today. We like it when Andy goofs off because
he's not bad at it either.
He tells us all about it the next day.
That is very true.
We're just
and
talking.
I mean that as a compliment toward him on yeah, the fact absolutely. That he's not bad at goofing off.
I mean, if you're good at goofing off, man, you got something going for you. That's really good. We were chatting last segment and want to keep going with us a little bit. Tua Tagovailoa on Monday made some comments on the Dan Le Batard show about Brian Flores and about the way he's been coached, I guess. And I don't know if he went out of his way, well, apparently he did, to bash Brian Flores. But he said, you know, this guy told me I stunk and didn't believe in me. Mike McDaniel came in, believed in me, and it made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, here's the short version of what Tua told Dan Le Batard.
If you woke up every morning and I told you you sucked at what you did, you don't belong, you shouldn't be here, this guy should be here, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other?
Some guys would respond to the, you know, you're not good, you stink, blah, 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 blah. Other guys wouldn't. Tua's not a guy who would. I've always thought, and it's not killing with kindness, it's not blowing smoke up their wazoo. I think people tend to listen more if you speak with them in a civil tone and a helpful tone in any walk of life.
Correct.
But especially in sports, in coaching, at any level. And I think that's how you get through to guys. And Brian Flores obviously thought, oh boy, because he went into, he wanted to say his side of it, and he met with the media yesterday in Minnesota, and so there it is. But pro athletes probably need to be coached a little differently than younger kids. The threat of discipline when you're a pro athlete really doesn't mean a whole lot.
No, because the guy's making more money than you are anyway.
Exactly. Frank is in Gates Mills. Frank.
How are you, Greg? How are you, Frank?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Doing well.
So I generally agree with the comments you've made about a coach not being a jerk towards his players. I completely agree. But you also said that coaches need to treat their NFL players like men. but not all NFL players behave like men. So there is a, I guess, somewhere in between as it relates to kids who are playing in the NFL. I'm air quoting. You can't see me. the idea of kids being in the NFL, because there are kids. A 21-year-old, 20-year-old is a kid, per se, maybe not legally, and therefore might need to be treated differently than someone like Joel Petronio or older guys who are men.
Can't argue with that, Frank.
100% Frank.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Well, what are you – I mean, that's no fun. You can, somehow someone's got to argue with me about this. I mean, I can't argue with myself.
But you know what, though? Just because a kid, and I agree with you, if you're 21, you're a kid still. You know, I mean, you're learning. You're a young adult. But what I think you have to figure out how to talk to that person. You have to figure out how to make that work. And usually that's not by yelling. It's not by degrading. It's not by bashing on somebody.
You're completely right. And that was my point at the beginning. Just because they're a kid, there's probably a different way you're handling them. But regardless, you're not being a jerk as a coach. So thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Frank, thank you very much.
And on top of that point, there are some guys. The main thing that you should take away from this, especially when it comes to coaching and all of that stuff, is that everybody responds differently to different things. And so I am sure there are guys that prefer it when you come up to them and you go, I can get better out of you. You can get better today. Like, there are guys who respond to that. And you get that out of them. And then there are other guys who look at that and go, this is doing nothing for me to have you yelling and screaming and grabbing my face mask and all of that kind of stuff and showing me footage of me being god-awful. This isn't making me better. This is making me worse because it's making me wallow. So really what it says is that everybody's different. And the best coaches in the world are the ones who understand that and can motivate guys different ways. And it's not just blanket statements and blanket coaching.
Larry's in Garfield. Hi, Larry.
How are you, Larry?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just like to say this. I don't agree with Tua. Grow a pair of balls. This is wrong with these NFL players. They make all this money. Then they want to get treated like babies. If you don't like what you're doing, quit. You see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying, but if you're Brian Flores, don't you have to adjust your style to reach the players that you need to reach?
My thing is this. If they're not reaching them, get somebody there that will. And let somebody else baby these guys.
Well, they did. They did.
They did.
And by God, he's doing a great job of it. Mike McDaniel.
But look, the Dolphins really ain't no serious contender for a Super Bowl.
Well, there are people who might disagree with you.
And Miami Dolphins fans.
And they gave they gave Tua a ton of money because they really like what he's done under Mike McDaniel.
Well, you can write this down. They would not go to the Super Bowl under Tua.
All right, Larry, thank you very much.
And that's the thing. I think the other part of it that goes with it is there are a lot of people who have a lot of opinions on Tua, which is the other side of this. You know, maybe Brian Flores looked at Tua and just was like, how am I supposed to win with this guy? And sadly, Tua got the blowback of Brian Flores going, this is not the kind of quarterback that I want to win with. Maybe that's how it, you know, maybe that's how it all started. Is that Brian Flores is like, this isn't my guy, and therefore I don't want him here, and therefore I'm going to make him miserable because I want him out of here to get the guy that I want in.
We talked about how this can go to college athletics as well, and obviously with the NIL situation, players can leave and transfer portal and everything else, and you know you're getting paid and everything else. I saw something that made me just think, this is soon to be the NFL, as if it's not already. And it's at the University of Alabama, and it's which is as close to the NFL as you're possibly going to get.
Well, right? I mean, with Saban there, yes. Now with Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who coached one way versus another way. You're about to see it in Alabama.
Meaning what? Meaning Nick was
Saban was
old,
a little
Nick
bit more,
was old school.
He is a little more of the Brian Flores direction.
Okay. Well, there's first of all. I was surprised to even just read this, and I had to read it twice because I thought, really? That's what they're calling these guys now. And the headline that I saw on ESPN said, Alabama agrees to record deal with GM, Courtney Morgan. I thought, what? I read the
General
story.
Motors?
And Alabama football general manager Courtney Morgan has agreed to a new precedent-setting contract with the Crimson Tide. They're calling a college guy the general manager. And by golly, he might be getting paid like it. He signed a 3-year contract, and he came with DeBoer from Washington. And he's going to make $825,000 a year to be the general manager of Alabama football.
That's amazing.
General manager of Alabama football.
That is absolutely amazing that we are living in this world where, well, one, we're living in a world where a coach wants to give up power. That's something worth noting in itself, because these college coaches never want to give up any kind of power. They like being king. And to see Kalen DeBoer be like, I can't recruit, I can't keep my eye on all these games, I can't watch MAC games and Sun Belt games and all of this stuff to figure out who's going to be in the portal and who's going to be best. I need somebody in here to help me with that.
Yeah,
that's nuts that he's giving up power to begin with.
Well, the coaches are king in college football. Unless this is a new trend that leads to something like what we might see in the NFL. And I say that from this standpoint. In many situations, the coach in the NFL is the guy. Okay, you could make the argument that Andy Reid is the big cheese in Kansas City. Belichick was the big cheese in New England for years and years. Is Harbaugh the big cheese in Baltimore? Maybe.
I mean, you say, did you?
Is Tomlin the big cheese in Pittsburgh? Yes. Maybe. Well, maybe. But they don't change general managers either. They're like two.
Right. You've got guys that are on the same page, but
I wonder
there's
if
a decent amount of pull in those rooms.
Well, I wonder if it becomes this with the NIL and everything going on with name, image, and likeness, which, by the way, has taken on a whole different, I think, whole different meaning than what it was supposed to be. Now it's just you're paying players.
Agreed.
You know, you're just flat out paying them. With just flat out paying players, they have become professionals. It's not just being able to use your name, image, and likeness to go sign autographs at the local car dealership. I mean, you're getting paid to come play football somewhere. Perhaps 1, 2, 20, 40 programs become based around the general manager who puts together the whole program, handles the recruiting, handles the name, image, and likeness, handles selling the program, as compared to the coach, and then that general manager hires the coach, helps to assemble the coaching staff, and it becomes a more NFL-style operation. I wonder.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Watching I think the biggest thing with this is some of what you're laying out there.
Do you think that's possible, though? I do. I really do.
I don't, because I can't see these head coaches.
They might not have a choice. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to basically say, like, all right, you're the general manager. Your job is to negotiate contracts and keep track of the money. Like, you're basically... I think the NFL had a position for it. Our friend Andrew Brandt had that position where he was in charge of, you know, contracts and all of that kind of stuff. And maybe that becomes that guy's job. I can't see Dabo going, you know, well, your job is to go out and recruit all these guys for me, and I'm just going to sit here and come up.
But see, that's the thing. Dabo may not have that choice.
I can't see Gundy doing that.
Gundy might not have that choice. That's my point. Is that university presidents might decide, man, it's a lot easier dealing with this more operational-minded person who's running the football operation rather than this head coach who we put on a pedestal and then can't fire without us getting in big trouble, and he controls everything. That's ridiculous. Because how are universities run? They're run by people who pass orders down the food chain and don't take orders from coaches.
Kind of. Who's the highest paid employee in the majority of these states?
And that's the problem. That's what I'm telling. That's what I'm telling you. That's why this could change.
But the thing is
go hire a coach. Have the general manager hire a coach. Here's our football program, Dan Menigan. Would you like to come coach it? Yeah, I want this and this and this. Yeah, you're not getting that. This is what we have.
Oh, see,
would you
I
like
can't.
To come? Whew. Would you like to come coach this?
I can't see anybody agreeing to it. In college right now, I can't see anybody agreeing to it because, again, the last thing that people of power ever want to do is give up power.
But they might not be in the position of power. Well, they are now. My point. They are now. But if this trend continues and you're hiring these GMs to come in and run the program, and now in his case, he's running it for DeBoer.
Right.
Okay.
Now, if it's for the coach, this is a different conversation.
But what if it starts to switch? What if that power starts to go the other way and this becomes more of an NFL model? I wonder if that's possible.
I can't see it. I can't see Lincoln Riley going, nah, you know what? Someone else can be in charge of this. I just want to coach him up. I can't see Steve Sarkisian going, somebody else can do this.
But Dan, that's my point. University presidents might not give Sarkisian and Gundy and all these guys the power anymore. That's my point. 216-474-0092. What do you think, folks? It's Baskin and Phelps. You're on the Fan. I'm talking about couple of things in coaching. It started with Tua Tagovailoa and his comments about Brian Flores as compared to Mike McDaniel, his current coach, likes McDaniel's style much more. And then we went into the idea of a general manager in college football, which is happening. I mean, they have general managers now. University of Alabama has a general manager of its football program. It's really interesting. We brought up the name Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy made some comments that I just applaud. We're going to hear those comments in a second.
Oh,
the guy
Gundy.
Who's laughing is Dan Menigan.
Oh, Gundy.
Drake is in Cleveland. Drake.
How are you, Drake?
How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I'm in a truck, so bear with me.
You got it.
All good.
Be safe.
I'm kind of trying to understand, too. You know, different players, different stuff for different folks. You know, you players are motivated different ways, but I'm lost at how he played for one of the most cussingest coaches in NCAA history, and he had a problem with Brian Flores. Nick Saban came on TV and told you he'd tear into the ASS if they don't do what he say. Like, so I'm kind of lost at, you know, don't get me wrong, that still don't mean that he wasn't wronged by Brian Flores mentally. People have their way of coaching, and sometimes it don't fit the player. Most times we expect the player to fit the coach, but maybe it's time to start expecting it the other way around.
Drake, thank you very much. Be safe.
It could easily be that fact. It could also be that, and I think nobody wants to hear this, and I don't think Nick Saban will ever admit this. I wonder if toward the end of Saban's tenure, he started going, all right, I'm focusing in on the defensive side of the ball and the special teams, and I'm hiring smart people to do the offense. Because
he had some big-time offensive guys.
He had some big-time offensive coordinators out there. I mean, Bill O'Brien was out there for a little bit. Like, the kind of guys...
Sarkisian.
The kind of guys that you would hand the keys to and go, you run my offense. So I partially wonder if that's what happened with Saban, and especially towards the end, if he just threw his hands up and said, hey, like, I'm handing you the keys to this offense. You take care of it. You take care of the quarterback. If you need me to come into a recruiting meeting and drop the hammer, I'm here to do that. I will be the head coach, but Bud, you're running my offense.
Yeah.
I mean, it would not shock me in the slightest with Saban if that's the way he did it. And by the way, it still puts him in a position that if his offense goes into the tank, he can immediately fire people and raise hell. I mean, he could do that without question, but we see it in the NFL.
Very true.
And we've seen a general concept of it in college as well, as you've seen these offensive coordinators in college go get hired somewhere else, and a team's offense kind of falls apart a little bit.
Mike Gundy is the head coach at Oklahoma State, and Mike's always been interesting. First of all, the mullet. You can't go wrong with the mullet. And at least if you could grow one, which good for him. And remember his comments, you know, pick on me. I'm a grown
man. I'm 40.
Yeah, I'm 40, all that stuff.
Yep.
He made some comments recently here with his football team about the NIL situation in college sports. And I think these are outstanding. Dano, you've got a clip.
Here is Mike Gundy in a press conference being asked about NIL.
That's what I told the players. There's no negotiating now. Portal's over. All negotiations history. Now we're playing football.
You can enjoy
just coaching and playing football.
Conference and a 12-team playoff, yep. Everything being so different, mm-hmm. just the newness of it all.
Yeah, and, you know, the business side of what we do now is we have to have those conversations with them. You know, tell your agent to quit calling us and asking for more money. It's non-negotiable now. Going to start again in December. Now we're able to direct ourselves just at football, and that part is fun because there's been so much other stuff going on that's been hard to really focus on football.
Tell your agents to quit calling us asking for more money. Oh, my goodness.
Now, this, if you want to sell me on the GM thing,
this is it.
That's where you have a GM.
This
where
is
it's
it.
Like, you don't call me, call Ron. Ron will solve all your problems when it comes to money. Call Frank. Like, that's what those guys are there for. There is no way. Now, and that part of it is what you would have a GM for. There's no way in hell that GM is going to pick players along with Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy is not going to let that happen. There's no way Gundy would let that happen.
Not the way things are currently set up.
Right.
Right now.
This makes sense, though, because at some point you do need to just drop the hammer and go, we are done talking contract. Like, at some point, it just gets silly.
Gundy continued, and he was talking to the Oklahoman. At least the Oklahoman newspaper printed these. He said, as we progress here toward the NFL, and players will have employment contracts, there's a whole line of things that are going to fall into place here in the next 4 to 6, 12 months, probably 18 months. Interesting.
Yeah.
And now that, you know, what if a college kid has to sign a contract and you're here for 2 years? We'll give you this money. We'll give you this NIL money, but you're here for 2 years. You're not transferring.
I think that's the direction that we're starting.
I think that might be true too.
And it's just because, again, I love the portal for the fact that it keeps coaches honest. I love the portal because of all of the horror stories that we have all heard of a guy showing up to a college, getting sold a bill of goods, going there and having none of it.
Yeah.
I love it for that reason because now there's accountability. Now there's checks and balances. I don't like the portal in that every year you then hop into it and
renegotiate.
All right, let's renegotiate.
Yep.
So I think we are heading to a place where we're going to have contracts. And I wonder if we're going to head to a place where we're going to have contracts and those contracts are going to have incentives in it. And I wonder if that's where we're heading. Yeah. Some of that might be grade oriented, probably on the school side. Hey, you got to maintain this GPA. Hey, you got to do this. You got to do this.
If not, you lose some money.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I wonder if there's going to be a second side of that that goes, that's great. But if I don't get 100 targets, I'm out. If I don't have this amount of snaps as a freshman, I'm out. If I don't have, like, I got a feeling we're going to start seeing this go back and forth because of those checks and balances.
At which point, the whole thing goes to, you know what, in a handbasket.
Does it still maintain?
No, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful.
I don't know.
19-year-old kids who you think can play football, think can play basketball, but then you get them on campus and they're either a lot better or a lot worse. This is why, Dan, I think that whole general manager thought might become a huge deal where you have a person who runs the program and they hire a coach.
Well, if you're
and the coach is not, you know, the coach is, it's not his kingdom anymore. It's not her kingdom in women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have another Pat Summitt. You're not going to have Chino. That's not going to be the case. Instead, you're going to have an organization, and you're hired to coach it, not run it.
Well, if you're a lot better, the problem solves itself because you're going to want to play the better player. If you're a lot worse, the problem solves itself because now you're not going to want to pay that player. So, like, the process kind of, it's all going to solve itself in the same way that name, image, and likeness is kind of solving itself. Now, I like the Wild Wild West. I'm enjoying it greatly, watching everybody flail in the wind and players take the power back from these coaches who think they're king. I think it's tremendous. And I think we are heading to contracts. And I think it all once again solves itself. And I think the free market balances itself out, which is what college athletics has been saying they want. I mean, think about it. If you're going to bring a kid in and fill him a bill of goods saying, hey, you're going to be a part of this. You want to be a part of the future. We'll get you X amount of touches. We'll do this. We'll do that. And he ends up being worse. Well, then you don't play him and the problem solves itself. Because then he hops in the portal and goes find somebody else who might be better for what he's looking for and might give him a different opportunity and give him those snaps. And maybe he needs to go to a Sun Belt school and become a better center at a Sun Belt school to then transfer once again even. At least then the free market solves itself and there's checks and balances.
I think Gundy's comment about the contracts is interesting because I think that's a way this could go. You know, if players want what they seem to want, which I can't argue with that, good for them,
mm-hmm.
then I would think that the schools, the coaches, the general managers in college would be able to turn around and say, great, you know, you want all this? We want a 2 or 3 year commitment.
Absolutely.
You're in. And if this isn't met, then maybe we can void the contract.
Exactly. Yep. And so that's the part of this I think we're going, because it has gotten ridiculous that every single year, this time of year, we all have to pick up Phil Steele's college football book, giant preview that he does, and flip through and go, oh, yeah, that's right. Ohio State did pick up that wide receiver from Florida.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. LSU does have a quarterback that transferred in from Kansas. You know, and I'm pulling those out of my rear end, but you get the general concept. Like, that way you do get that consistency of college football that everybody has loved so well of growing with these players, and yet they're still being properly compensated.
Mike Exisa covers Major League Baseball for CBS Sports. Mike has been with us before. He's going to be with us again momentarily right here on Baskin and Phelps as your first place Cleveland Guardians getting ready for game 2 in New York tonight.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.